Hey everybody, Jason Burmis here, and we got a lot to talk about, a lot to get to, and I've got a very special guest to help me with all of this news. Now, originally we were going to talk a lot about January 6th, and we're still going to do that with Todd McGreevy of the RC Reader, rcreader.com, but because he is really a specialist that is honed in on First Amendment, Fourth Amendment, and constitutional rights in general, I really wanted to start by playing this unbelievable clip where now your children are being trained to be slaves and wards of the state, where dogs are just going to randomly come in and sniff everybody down as if everybody is guilty of possibly having COVID in an authoritarian nightmare. So, Mr. McGreevy, buckle up before we get there. I really need the audience.
Happy Sunday.
The audience needs to see this. It is absolutely wild. And the thing is that while they do these, you know, authoritarian measures and it's promoted on Anderson Cooper 360, it's all a facade. The cop doesn't even have the thing around his nose, the old slave mask. So let's get into it. Let's look at how now not only is search and seizure gone, but they're also going to fearmonger by sanitizing the areas that the dog smells and could possibly be COVID.
This is Hunta. She's a black lab. She's 14 months old. And she's a warrior in the fight against COVID. Hunta received training to recognize the scent of the coronavirus. If she smells it, she will give a signal and then get a toy. Nothing found in this second grade gym class at the L.G. Norris Elementary School in Norton, Massachusetts. So she goes on to play with some of the children. But then Hunta is brought into the school library.
So, you know, now number one, oh, it's a nice doggy. It's playtime. Everything's okay.
And he just signaled that dog.
Well, let's continue.
Sorry.
No.
Rewind that.
Watch.
I've not even seen this yet.
Well, here we go, Todd.
Class at the L.G. Norris Elementary School in Norton, Massachusetts. So she goes on to play with some of the children. But then Hunta is brought into the school library.
Good girl.
And while first graders have music class on the other side of the library, Hunta abruptly sits down. A signal that
we do have some odor, presence of COVID odor on this bookshelf. She just,
COVID odor on the bookshelf.
What odor?
Actually, just sat. Good girl.
Get a little COVID on.
I'll praise her, good girl. Let her wait it out a little bit, kind of dial it in, try to narrow it down.
We know COVID-19 primarily spreads through the air, and Hunta is searching there too.
And odor is almost like a cone. If you could picture a cone, the source of the odor is strong at the base like it was on the bookshelf, and then the odor goes out into a corn store.
This is Duke. He's Hunta's partner in the canine COVID patrol.
What's that, Todd?
So we know that it spreads through the air, we're told, but yet this guy says that the odor is there at the base of the bookshelf. It spreads like a cone from the bookshelf, as if it starts from the surface. Just contradictory. Anyway, carry on.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is the school cafeteria. He stops abruptly and sits too.
He just found something.
And then, 2 minutes later...
What did he find here?
Same thing.
So what happens after Duke and Hunta make their discoveries?
We notify parents in terms of if we have information that a student is specific in that scene, we want parents to have that right to make a decision about do they want to test and stay the student, do they want to pull the student, or just keep an eye out for symptoms.
In addition, after the detector dog makes a hit,
oh,
the areas are disinfected.
And now the pageantry and getting you ready to be afraid of germs and that you're dirty and you've already been trained to wear the mask. Your kids are being turned into slaves where they no longer have the right against search and seizure, period. That's what this is about. Okay, it's not about stopping the spread of COVID, which we know is not as dangerous for children, even if they get that, and we still can't get flu numbers. All that aside, you know, there's more to the slavery. We'll go over it in a separate video. Todd McGreevy.
Oh, real quick. You just whiplashed me with this one, man. I mean, we haven't even isolated the actual SARS-CoV-2 virus for it to be identified by some kind of smell, in my view. This is, what the hell is this dog being trained to sniff for? And I'm telling you, there was a signal. That guy touched that book and signaled that dog right there. They had two different camera angles going on that same bookshelf. I guarantee it. This is a total setup. So anyway, yeah, it's traumatizing kids. I mean, seriously, just you sit there and have this dog run around and sniff you?
And it's absolutely insane. I mean, you're breaking up a little bit. I'm not sure if you're on Wi-Fi. Come on, Todd. Don't you have a great setup? We got to get Todd a podcast set up. But he's breaking up a little bit. I want to talk about the RC Reader and your coverage of January 6th. And actually, I saw your partner down at the Stockade last night, and I was mentioning an interaction I had with Justin Holstein. Has he told you about this yet?
No. Uh-uh.
So you're aware of, obviously, the Crypto Club and how they get together on Tuesdays on the other side of the river. And you and I kind of try to stay away from the other side of the river because it's masks and pageantry and authoritarianism. But they meet at this bar. Yeah. I don't want to say the name of the bar, but I went once. And they weren't wearing masks, but then all of a sudden the bartender started hyping up the vaccine and you should get the vaccine and I've taken this. And I wasn't sure whether he was kidding or not, but then it became very abundantly clear that he was not. So Justin and I were out to dinner. And apparently the bartender had a copy of the RC Reader, the current edition, and he slammed it on the table and went into a total meltdown about yourself and myself and the reporting that was done. And basically he had bought into this crazy insurrectionist narrative, Mr. McGreevy. So what are your thoughts on that? I mean, first tell people where they can read your very astute coverage of January 6th, why it is very important, and why you're talking about this non-insurrection.
The RCR, or the independent monthly print publication in the Quad Cities, here in the Illinois, Iowa, Quad Cities area, I've been publishing since 1993. We came out January 6th. It was our latest street date for a January edition. And what better way to... We come out on the 6th. I'm like, January 6th is a hallmark day. They're trying to hype it as important as 9/11 and the most traumatic thing. And you've got legislators going on virtue signaling tours locally to high schools and hyping it up and everything. So I knew yourself. I knew Pat Miletich. I knew Sarah Ford. I knew Clyde Cleveland and Corey Ive, all friends of mine personally that were there. I'd seen footage. You guys would give me firsthand accounts. So we put together 13 questions instead of just trying to, you know, anyway, down and dirty, answer these questions, please, about your personal experience there on January 6th, 1 year later. So that is part of the coverage there is in their own words. And so you guys helped, very thankfully helped us with some coverage. And I mean, what do I have to say about it? I mean, I think people are losing their mind like that. Bartender's like, what do you expect us to write about? You want us to repeat what AP is telling you? You get that already. We're the alternative independent newspaper. We're here to provide the alternative viewpoint. This is a firsthand account from people. Why don't you read it and it open your brain pan a little bit? But this is very difficult, as we know, in the mass formation era that we're in, because there's mass formations more than just the pandemic going on and the very deadly virus. There's a mass formation about sedition now that, you know, anybody who's a Trump supporter was going to try and violently take over the Capitol. And as Pat Miletich put in his piece, I'm paraphrasing, you know, if these 500,000, pick the number of people that were there, there's people, there's as many as a million, 50,000, pick a number, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people wanted there to be an insurrection. As Pat put it, that building would have been rubbleized. It would have been over. Which brings to the point of the most defended, surveilled building in the top five in the world, easily, is the Capitol building. Most surveilled, most defended. If the powers that be didn't want anybody to get across any threshold there, they would have not been allowed across a threshold there. It is nonsense to think that this was some kind of, they forced their way in. Really? What are your tax dollars paying for? This is utter nonsense. The thing we try and point out is, why would the Trump supporters why would they put any risk to end the Electoral College process? To Jason, in your and our lifetime, the Electoral College was never being governed with as much kid gloves and as much due process as it has been this last cycle. And I sent you some links I looked up the rules and roles and responsibilities of everybody. The whole, I wouldn't call it Byzantine, but I would call it very detailed and very methodical process that needs to be gone through. And it ends up culminating in the Senate and the House, the joint sessions of Congress, where they start with the states by alphabet. Are there any objections to the certificate of the electors coming from each state? And there were objections. They were going through those objections. They were going through the due process of hearing those objections. And it would have taken maybe days and weeks to get through all of that. Oh my God, because that's where all the evidence was coming forward. We, of course, cannot have this. This will not stand. So clearly we had to act like there was some kind of crisis. This is very simple Hegelian politics, guys. Everybody knows this. It watches your show. But apparently the bartender who freaked out can't wrap his mind around that he's been duped.
And the vast irony of it is that the media and, you know, the authoritarians in government, because it wasn't just the Democrats, the Republicans as well, went along with this Russian interference narrative, this narrative that somehow Assange was an agent of Putin. Many of them still run with this and tried to say through influence there was interference in our elections. But if you go back far enough, the very first thing people were asking was, were the machines hacked by the Russians, right? That was kind of the first talking point they tried to put out. And they were like, no, it got hacked another way. And we had all these fake hearings. And then you get to a point where there is just a massive amount of evidence of massive voter fraud happening in the 2020 election. And the Supreme Court, when it finally gets there, after all sorts of betrayals are made by the so-called right and conservatives and Republicans at hard levels, higher levels, they say basically the people do not have standing. We no longer have standing. We don't even have to look at the evidence. You don't have standing to even present this evidence to us, which is a complete falsehood. And that takes us into this recent Supreme Court ruling where there's a false narrative that somehow there was a win when there was only a loss, in that now healthcare workers can be dictated to take shots of any type of drugs or therapeutics the state deems fit because they are amongst the most vulnerable. Well, if that's the case, it's not just going to be healthcare workers. It's going to be people who need healthcare, and it's going to be people who visit as well. It's setting up an unbelievably dangerous precedent. Obviously, the Supreme Court ruling in these cases are going to be a feature in the next RC Reader. Give my audience your opinion on those rulings.
Well, let's back up a second, because one of the comments you made, you know, the voter fraud that was brought to the Supreme Court level, and they said there was no standing. We have probably a little bit of a different opinion on standing. I'm very familiar with that term the Supreme Court uses, and it's the ace in the hole they use whenever they want to actually they not apply discretion, and they just want to say, go away, slave, because frankly speaking, U.S. citizens do not have access to the Bill of Rights. It's started with the 14th Amendment, and it's a whole rabbit hole that people want to call you a sovereign citizen about, and it's not anything to do with that. It has to do with technical substantive issues regards to Article 4, Section 2, Clause 1. It's called comity. It's about the several states, privileges and immunities in the several states. When we raise our hand and say we are a U.S. citizen, we are first and foremost a federal citizen. The 14th Amendment did protect federal citizens from having their rights violated by the several states. So the slaves were protected by the states from having their rights violated. But they didn't protect the slaves from having their rights violated by the federal government. The duality, the parity does not exist. When you say you're a D.C. citizen, you're a federal citizen, they can do whatever they want to you. So I would propose to you and your listeners, Jason, that the you have no standing. It may be actually technically accurate. They just didn't want to hear, choose to hear. Now they wanted to choose to hear the OSHA thing because it was so controversial and the mandates are such a, there's enough of an upswell, even amongst the citizen federal slaves, okay, that they needed to address that. And they did with discretion. And then they took and they said, hey, let's go look at the medical people and the medical people that work in the hospitals. There's a nexus there. They're getting funding for Medicaid and Medicare. We're gonna draw that tether in, and we're gonna say, hey, you want the money, even though you gave us the money from your own taxes, but you want that money back, you're gonna have to do our bidding, and here's one of our bids. Now, some people will say that, hey, the workers there didn't need money, the employers took the money. So who has control over who? The whole dialogue there. So it's several layers deep there. I concur with your piece that you did the other day. This is a travesty. It is the open door to full medical tyranny, even though they gave us this discretionary victory that lets some red meat over there and go, oh, we're going to be constitutional and blah, blah, blah. It's bullshit.
It's total bullshit. And, you know, that kind of brings us to establishment predator class minions like Justice Roberts and like Kavanaugh. You know, I talked in that piece about how Roberts was put into place during the second Bush administration, was very much a part of that neocon clique of the Rumsfelds, the Wolfowitzes, the Cheneys of the world. And then you get to Kavanaugh. You know, Kavanaugh was pivotal in a lot of the legal battles regarding all these things that they had passed via the Patriot Act and bringing Homeland Security into fruition, and very much, you know, a protege, an acolyte of Carl Turd Blossom Rove. And, you know, for my audience that may not be familiar with Carl Rove, I know that you were also very active during the Bush administration. There were entire documentary films made about how Rove was really running the strategics behind the scenes of the Bush administration. And he's beloved by many on the right even today. He's a Fox News paid pundit. I see him on Laura Ingraham along with Mike Pompeo all the time. You know, for those that are still kind of stuck in this right-left paradigm or believe there are still sealed indictments, like some of the people at the Reawaken tour yesterday were saying, what would you say to them about these people that have been behind the scenes and very much running the Bernaysian politics behind the scenes?
Well, we were talking, Kathleen and I were talking about the Kavanaugh dynamic when we were watching your piece the other day about that. And it dawned on me, and I hate to be a broken record, and it's the latest, you know, kind of fashionable term right now is this mass formation. But I think it's like there was that whole hearing about his sexual predilections and all that stuff with the whatever her name was, the gal, that was total mass formation there. That was to distract all of us from, we don't pay attention to the fact this guy was a huge proponent of the Patriot Act and getting rid of any protected rights that you might have. Again, back to, you know, if you're a U.S. federal citizen, he might be active, but you kind of gave him up. But nonetheless, don't watch what's going on with him. Just focus on the bullshit college story so you forget that he is a tyrant to begin with and should not be considered a conservative.
Well, again, this whole conservative or liberal, look, man, I'm pretty socially liberal. You've hung out with me now for well over a year. I don't really care what you do or who you do it with if you're not hurting people. The same time, you know, when we talk about conservatism, I certainly believe people should be able to worship the way they wish and do as they wish. And I think that obviously an open system of real capitalism, not what we have. We have, again, this national security state that's run by techno-fascism. When the largest corporations are in bed with the military-industrial complex and pay no taxations, and all these foundations that are doing the bidding of these, you know, other agencies, government agencies behind the scenes for plausible deniability. I mean, it's just part of the same thing. You know, it's not true capitalism. The idea that they can step in and they can deplatform a platform by taking away their servers, like in the case of even Parler, should show you this. So for me, even that terminology of, you know, he was a conservative, it's like, I don't even care if he's a quote unquote conservative. What did he do to take away my rights? Because there were plenty of conservatives back in the day, big time mass formation psychosis, talking about you could turn it into a parking lot, and if you don't like it, you can get out. All about, you know, Osama bin Laden sticker all over the place. That was the big thing. Like, if you were right wing and you were a conservative and you were behind George Bush and Dick Cheney, you wanted those terrorists dead. Good. Carpet bomb Iraq.
I don't consider that, never considered that conservative. And it's such an abused term. You know, these terms don't work anymore. They're useless. Are you for the Bill of Rights or not is how I break it down. And so real quick on, I want to ask you, the thing that comes to my mind is who's going to, when I watch like your videos, like that thing about DARPA and the disclosure about, they already had documented that here's the treatments that work. And the switch that went off for me when I was watching that was like the comment you made to the effect of, so really the government, your government, our government, the one we pay for, they already knew internally that there was no need for lockdowns, no need for ventilators, no need for all these measures that devastated the country and created all kinds of issues. It was obviously planned, as we know, with 201 and all that good stuff. But it's, now it's just documented in our face. And so now the question becomes, I don't mean to be too pejorative here, but the COVIDiots, all right, the people that just have signed on, the Munchausen people, okay, that have signed on to this whole narrative, when this is brought to them and shown to them, what's precluding them from actually going, oh, I need to rethink my belief system. I need to rethink how I treat others. I need to rethink what my, you know, expectations are in terms of others' rights. And they won't do it. And Kathy and I were talking about this yesterday, not because they're afraid of the virus. If they acknowledge, like, hey, natural immunity might work, we should give it a try, maybe we should try these treatments. It's because they're in a tribe. And if they go outside of the narrative that they've been, their tribe is adhering to, then they won't have their tribe anymore. That bartender can't stand actually getting out of his tribe. That's why he freaked out. I don't know how we combat that. I don't know if, should we care? Should we even try?
We have to try, because it's not just that bartender. It's well-meaning people. You know, well, you know, you had the, like, that Reawaken tour that I streamed that, again, was very Christian or conservative. You have plenty of Christian conservatives, especially in my family, that are rolling up their sleeve and rolling with it. You know, again, my brother brought up the same damn thing. I was on the phone with him literally an hour ago, and he goes, Jason, we now have over 200 pages of documents showing that they created it in a laboratory and they knew that treatments worked in April of 2020, and people still can't come to grips with it. And what did we just show you? I told everybody these authoritarian measures were only going to expand on the East Coast, and that's why I didn't even consider the East Coast as a place to relocate, because they all fall in line with New York. And look, you don't have the dogs in upstate New York schools yet, but you got them in Massachusetts already. You got them in a more progressive area in Salem. And I'm like, as much, you know, quote unquote conservatives as you have, or right leaning in Pennsylvania, it's just too close. And right now we're seeing a narrative that domestic terrorism is the biggest thing, and we're the biggest threats, and we're opening new offices to go against them. There's a narrative that anybody that doesn't want to change the voting laws to the ones that they use to literally rig the national election all the way around before the midterms, you're a bigot and a danger and a terrorist. And unfortunately, this is it. The right moment, the right event could really lock us down before the midterms, and we could see we could see something more tragic and more in our face than even what happened with Trump in the 2020 elections. And again, I'm no Trumpy, you know that.
They're suffering from another crisis. They're paving that, and that wand that guy was spraying in that video with the dog and the library and all that stuff. That's reminded me of the videos we were shown of China at the beginning of this.
That's exactly what it reminded me of.
It was like just rinsing and repeating the same meme to just traumatize people. It's just phenomenal.
So Todd, listen, go ahead.
I
see you're breaking up too, so it's hard for me to hear you. We got to get, what is up? Don't you have like a fiber line? What is going on here? I got to get over there. We got to get you like a 720p. I mean, you're looking like it's DSL, DSL lines from 2006. All right. Mr. McGreevy, RC Reader is the place to be, where they can find everything. RCReader.com. A lot of these photographs, by the way, guys, I took. And when you look at the one here, I mean, show me the violence. Show me the bigotry. Show me the Confederate flags. It's just not there. And it's not like Todd cherry picked. I gave him access to every single thing. What would you like to say about that?
Could you go back to that?
What's that?
Can you go back to that and scroll down? Can you go back to that page, please?
Yes.
And scroll down. And I encourage your listeners, your watchers, your viewers to go there and keep going. Keep going. I'm going to get to the video that Corey took. It's 16 seconds. It's past that one. Yeah, there's a bunch of racists there.
Here we go.
That video is 16 seconds. The audio is just.
I'm not sure what they're saying. I can't hear. What were they saying?
No, it's not even important. What I want to get across is the audio of the crowd in the background is thunderous. It is thunder. It sounds like, I've never been to a Super Bowl, but I can only imagine that's what the Super Bowl sounds like. It is incredible. And the reason I point that out is, yeah, all right, I'm sorry, the bartenders that are losing their minds. We do need a government that is afraid of the people showing up at the doorstep and making sure they enforce the rule of law. Do the Electoral College process. If there were shenanigans in a state, hear it out through due process. Don't look for some easy out, go run and come back hours later and rubber stamp it because you don't want to deal with tough issues in 50 freaking states. Sorry, there's six or seven of them that had some issues. Hear them out. If there's no issue there, then what's the problem of hearing it out and going through the motions, everybody?
All right, my man.
Check out that video, buddy.
I will.
I'll talk to you.
All right, it's great to see you. Todd McGreevy, everybody, follow him on Twitter. He does a great job. RCReader.com is where you can find him. The links down below is where you can check me out as well. That's where you can see everything. Jason Burmis. Look, as far as the Reawaken America tour, I get it. It was a turnoff in a lot of respects with the Trump worship and even like the, you know, the fake indictments and prophecy stuff. But again, sprinkled in there, you had people that were fighting back. You had the Iowa Mama Bears. You had the gym owners from Jersey. Yeah, and I don't think people understand how hard it is to fight back. So there was a lot of worthy stuff in there as well. I want to thank Clay Clark for coming on the program and putting on that event. That's also not easy. I'm going to be going live later today talking about Dana White dropping truth bombs. And I just want to let everybody know it's not about left or right. It is always about right and wrong. I'll see you on the flip side.